I'm thankful this morning to know a Jesus that loves children and who has time for children. And I want to be more like Jesus in that way, to take time for the children that he has given to me, and also to show that love to other children. There's a lot of children today in our world that live real close to us that really do lack a lot of love and connection with parents and with Jesus. And we have opportunities right around us to reach in into a child's heart. And some of those, sometimes it takes some time and some effort to do that, but I think it's important for us to prioritize things that are important and sometimes take time aside to neighbor children, those who stop by, to have time to visit and to talk. Because Jesus always had time for people who were looking for him. Well, my mind was thinking this past week about James and Carrie and their family and the passing of their son. And it seems like the Lord just reminds us fairly frequently that our life here is short at best. And there's different ways that he does that for us to remind us of how frail we are. And there's questions that we think about, we grapple with, and we wonder why questions, and some of those we don't have answers for. But there are some things that I believe God would want to teach us through these experiences. And so those of us who are alive today, I think we would do well to think seriously about our own lives and the time that you and I have left to live here. So you can open up your Bibles to Psalms 90 for the message this morning. So I thought about a 13-year-old passing. Thought about my own children. Think about my own life. Think about your own life and your own families. And Linford's, you know, some of those feelings too. Lindrick, he was 13 when he drowned, and it's a lot of similarities. It's a lot of things that our minds work through and we think about. My mind went to this psalm. It's a prayer that Moses prayed. Don't know when he prayed this prayer. Perhaps it was in the wilderness wanderings when he prayed this prayer. There's some things in here for us to consider today as we ponder the brevity and the shortness of life and how frail we are as human beings. Let's start reading at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And we'll stop reading there. The title for the message this morning is Teach Us to Number Our Days. Just have some simple thoughts concerning that truth that Moses prayed for, that the Lord would teach him, and that he would teach us today to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Time is short, and that's something that you and I, we recognize that, we know that. But oftentimes, it's shorter than what you and I know. Verse 5, it says, we're like a sleep. We're like carried away in a flood. We're like the grass, which groweth up, it's cut, and it returns to the earth. Even if we were to reach old age. Verse 10, 70 years, which is 70 years, or even if by reason of strength you get to 80 years old. Even in light of that, this is God's perspective of our life here. That is very short. It's like the grass that groweth up and is cut down. That is God's perspective of our life here. Do you have a perspective that's similar to that? Or do you have a perspective that you have a pretty long life? There's lots of years ahead of you. We would be wise to have God help us gain his perspective of our life here. Verse 4. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Perhaps Peter quoted this verse when he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. All we know today is time. God our Father is not confined to time, but we are. This is what we know. But I think we need to do some thinking time and time again to remind ourselves of God's perspective of time and of what lies beyond time for each of us. And so let's just do a little bit of thinking this morning. If you were to live 70 years, the 70 years and 10, it would be a total of 25,500 days. Or perhaps you'll have reason of strength and you make it to 80 or a bit beyond. If you make it to 80, your days will be 29,200. And so as I looked at my own life and did some calculations, I lived roughly 14,400 days. And Brother Dave did some calculation on your life. You lived 20,300 days. Gillen roughly lived 23,500 days. And if you're young this morning, if you're 14, 15, 16, you lived 4,000 to 6,000 days. Lindrick, he lived about 4,500 days. Meyer and your dad lived about 16,000. And Earl's brother, Harold, he lived around 12,000. There's many people Friends, they have not made it beyond where I have made it, or where Brother Dave is at, Brother Galen, Alice, many people who have not made it that far. Well, if 1,000 years are like one day to God, then a person who lives to be 80 years old in God's eyes lived perhaps less than 2 hours in a 1 24-hour day. Is that short? Moses says, it's as a watch in the night. And in Moses' day, a watch in the night was 3 hours. So, if I did calculations correctly, an 80-year-old lifespan compared to a 3-hour watch would be less than 15 minutes of one of God's days. And so we wonder, how many minutes do we have left? How many do I have left? How many do you have left? And we don't know that answer. But what we do know, that however many that you and I have left, it's not many at all. And that's the truth, that's the reality that you and I must and we need to think about today. God would want us to think about that and consider that. And so as we think about how many days and minutes that perhaps we have left, and we realize how short they may actually be, what should our response be to that? Well, Moses prayed in verse 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The first truth is that we must ask God to teach us to number our days. Often when we think about the frailty and the brevity and the shortness of life, we often lament that there's just not enough time to do all that we want to do. There's so much we want to do, we just don't have time for it. Or perhaps another vein of thought we go into sometimes is, and we should think about this, is how many days have I wasted in those, for myself, those 14,000 some days. How many of them have I wasted, those precious days and minutes and hours that you and I will never get them back again, to live them again? And so it should make us want to live differently. And perhaps you've been wasting some hours and some days, and this is a call for us all to recognize the importance of the minutes that God gives to us, the few that we have, to use them carefully, and to steward them wisely for His glory. But the truth is this morning, that just because you recognize that life is short and you come to grips with that, that doesn't in itself produce wisdom in a person's life. In fact, it can produce the exact opposite. Foolishness comes out of a person's life because they think, well, I want to enjoy and experience all that there is to have in life. I want everything right before I'm gone. And we know, I've known people like that. That think of one man in particular that just recently, he said he's going to work. He was close to my age. He couldn't wait till he was 55. He's going to retire. He's going to move, forget which state he's going to move to, and he's just going to live a good life. And he said, the thing you need to do is work as hard as you can now, make as much money as you can now, and then you just live it and take it easy. Well, I told him he may not reach 55. And then what's going to happen? He said it would be too bad, but hopefully his children could enjoy what he worked hard for. But there's many people today who are driven by the shortness of life to pursue foolishness and things that have no lasting value and joy. And we're tempted with that to do the same thing. And so just recognizing that life is short does not in itself produce wisdom in our life. And so we end up pursuing so many things that we want to do. We have our bucket lists, we say sometimes, the things that we want to accomplish in this life, and perhaps some of those are important things that we should be doing. But oftentimes, they're probably not the most important things that we need to be doing. But we pursue them above and at the expense of, like, pursuing love, real love with real people. We get caught up with living life. And so, will you pray like Moses prayed this morning? Will you pray and ask God to teach you how to number your days? Numbering our days, it's not enough. We need God, who is the author of my life, who gives me my life. I need him to teach me what it really means to number my days. God, what are my few days here for? How do you want me to spend my few days that are here, that you're going to give to me? What should I prioritize? Where should my efforts go to? What should I be concerned about? Where should I give my passion? What drives me? What motivates me? Lord, can you teach me? Can you teach me? So I can be a good steward of the days that you give me. If that's not our heart this morning, for God to teach us how to live, how to prioritize our lives and how to use them wisely for his glory, we're going to be like that rich fool who said, you know, he worked hard and he said, you know what, I got it all now, barns are full, let's just eat, drink, and have a good time now. But what he didn't know is God said, that night, my dear man, you're going to die. Then, what's all that? To you, it means nothing. It means nothing. Will you have a heart of wisdom today? A heart of wisdom will seek God. And he will ask God to help us understand how to number my days. This day, Lord, how shall I use this day the best way that I can? This may be my last day here. It may be yours. We don't know. We need not. We should not fear that. We do perhaps sometimes. But if we're ready to die, we shouldn't have to worry about that. We should be concerned about how we're living. And so, will we pray the prayer that Moses prayed to God, help me to see and to prioritize things of lasting importance? Well, how do we apply our hearts unto wisdom? What is wisdom? Job, he tells us in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, he says this, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That is a definition for what wisdom is. It is the fear of the Lord. And then we can ask the next question, well, what is the fear of the Lord? And Solomon gives us that answer in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, God says, I hate. Are you a wise person this morning? Does that describe you? Is that your heart this morning, that you would depart from evil? That you would hate evil? Or are you marked by pride and arrogancy, evil actions, a perverse mouth? What characterizes my life, what characterizes your life, is it a heart that has been applied unto wisdom? Well, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And we perhaps could ask, well, what is evil? And that can be a very broad thing, and I just have one thought to add to that. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And I'm suggesting to us this morning that evil at its roots is founded in unbelief in God and in His Word. And that is why I have done things that God did not approve of, because I didn't really believe His Word and what He said. Unbelief. Evil is rooted in unbelief of God and His Word. And we know many people who are unbelievers, and their lives live that out. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." There's many people today, and maybe some of us included, that like to do like Romans chapter 1 verse 25, say, "Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie." There's many people today that would like to convince themselves that they're going to be okay. And they believe a lie about God. That is something that our carnal nature wants us to do. That's something that the devil of this world wants us to believe. That we'll be okay. But God says, it's not that important right now. Or that was long time ago. It's no longer relevant. Things have changed. Well, do you have a heart of wisdom this morning? A heart of wisdom that fears the Lord so much that you are learning how to hate evil and to learn to do what God wants us to do, to learn to think upon the things that are pure and just and honest and good. Is that our heart this morning? Is that your heart? A heart of wisdom will choose by faith to trust in the promises of God. There's many promises that we find today in our Bibles that are for us. And a heart that will apply itself unto wisdom will believe those promises, even in the darkest of days, even in the good, best of days, that what God says He will do, and He'll carry through on. He'll be faithful to His promise, His promises. A heart of wisdom chooses by faith to believe that God's sovereign hand is over all of life and its circumstances. And that God is the one who is controlling the things that go on. He allows and disallows those things. And a heart of wisdom will believe in a God that is sovereign and Lord over all. Rather than trusting in his own limited perspectives and perceptions, rather than trusting the world's shiny but empty deceptions, do you have a heart of wisdom today? Do I have faith to believe God and His Word? All that He says He will do? Do I have faith to believe that God is in control of this world? Even the things that happen to me on a daily basis, God is the sovereign God of the universe. A heart of wisdom today understands where true and lasting joy is found. We search for joy in just a lot of things today that in the end leave us feeling empty and used and abused. It didn't give to us what we thought it would give to us. I know how that feels. But a heart of wisdom today recognizes that joy is found in a relationship with God through His Word. And a life of prayer. And a life that is lived seeking after this God, who we believe is the author of our joy. The one who in His presence His pleasures are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. How much time this week have I spent following and seeking after the God that really brings us joy? How much time have you spent this week seeking after and following, learning more of your God? A heart of wisdom will recognize the importance of that and will pursue that. It's part of numbering our days. A heart of wisdom today will recognize that the pleasures and the entertainments of this world, they are the thief that will come in and they'll rob you of our joy. That's what they'll do. That's what the heart of wisdom will recognize, that this world and its pleasures will destroy us and it will kill us, our joy. Joy and satisfaction this morning will only come through seeking after the Lord. And so I encourage you to do that today. Have a heart of wisdom to seek after God. I was reading recently of King Josiah. He became king at age 8. And I thought about that because Kylan is 8. And when he was 16, he began to do amazing things for the Lord and in the kingdom. Just a great revival broke out. And I thought about that young man, age 8, the Lord had good things to say about him. He was a child that sought after the Lord. And I wonder how many young people this morning are like Josiah, who are willing to do that at a very young age. Yeah, even at 16, Josiah was the king and he led a great revival in that nation. Young people, you don't really have an excuse this morning not to seek after God because you're young. You can do a lot of things for the Lord if you're faithful today at 10, and 12, and 15, and 17, and 18, wherever you are, 20. Don't push it down the road further. It's not going to get easier the older you get. It'll become more difficult. Cultivate that now to seek after your God while you're young. Well, our earthly life here is short. It's too short today to waste it on things that that we all want to do. Well, we ask God to teach us today to number our days. Because we can end up pursuing life in all kinds of different avenues, only to find at the end of some of those things that there wasn't life in any of them. It was empty. There was nothing for it. Perhaps we had a good business. Perhaps we had many good things going for us. Perhaps we did many exciting and fun things. Well, what is the reward of having a heart of wisdom? Are there rewards today? If you have a heart that is seeking after the Lord, a heart of wisdom, a heart that's numbering your days. Well, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19, he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You can have joy today, laying up a good foundation for a time to come. The time to come is eternity. Is that my drive today? To build a foundation that will carry me into eternity in the presence of God? Or what foundations am I building today? Will they be the type of foundations that Paul talks about in Corinthians that are going to be burned up by fire? The wood and the hay and the stubble. Or what kind of foundations am I building today? Are they going to be sufficient to carry me through into eternity, into eternal life with God? Am I laying up in store for that time to come? It's going to come pretty quickly for all of us, no matter how old you are. Today is not that far away. Well, life, God tells us, is found in His Son. It's found in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, John says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son." Philippians 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Hath everlasting life. A heart of wisdom today. If you have one, you'll begin to learn and to understand that life is not so much how much money you can make. It's not so much how good you are with your business and your business life. It's not so much the achievements that you may have achieved in your life. It will begin to recognize that life, real life, is found only in Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's where life is found today. It is found in Christ. It's found in His words. It's found in our Bibles today. And so this morning, if I choose to live my life in rejection to Jesus, in rejection to His word, in disobedience to His word, that's truly a life that has been wasted. Well, there is satisfaction that comes today if your heart is applied unto wisdom, because you have a different perspective on life than so many people do. You, by faith, you believe what the Bible says, and you have joy in your life regardless of where you're working and what you're doing. There's something different about you. There is joy that comes in living a life that you know is well-pleasing to your Father. Is that the kind of life I desire to live? Does that characterize my life? A life that seeks after wisdom is a life that God says He gives His approval of. You have divine favor. God even says it's good for your physical well-being to seek after me. It's good for your health. It's good for your emotions. It's good for your worries and for your cares and everything that comes to you in your life. Seek me in all of those things and you'll find rest for your souls. Do you know the joy of coming that comes by living a life that your Father approves of? Well, the ultimate reward of a heart of wisdom, obviously, is eternity. Where the Bible says there's no time there. Time will be no more. And so we'll never run out of time again. We'll never be cut short on time. We'll never be watching the clock. We'll never have to worry about the night coming. We'll never have to worry about winter coming. There's no time there. There's just abundance. We don't understand that. We can't grapple with that. We think about that. We contemplate that, what that would be like, not governed by time. But this morning it'll be worth every effort that you and I are willing to put into our lives here, to live a heart, to have a heart of wisdom that seeks after our God for the few days that you and I have here. They're not worthy to be compared to eternity, to that short. And so, may you pray this prayer this week as you think about your life and your family. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's kneel for prayer.